Last Sunday, I started on a message. I told them this. I began to preach it and teach it. I said there was too much in this before. I told them there was too much in this for me to try to get out all at once. We'd be in church all day. I said, I'm going to make a part two of this thing. So we can come and revisit this. All right? And allow God to allow us to finish this today. Amen. I've learned how to rest in him. I'm not gonna rest it up, let him do his thing. I don't stress it no more. Amen? Amen. And turn to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. Let's go down to verse 25. Y'all remember scripture? Those of you here remember scripture? Now that I'm saying it? Amen. Here you come, Adam, come on. Amen. Thank you, my brothers. Okay. Be in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. Beginning at verse 25. Back here again, Deacon, because we got to do part two.
Yes, sir.
Amen? Amen. Let us pray. The Lord our God, our excellent is your name in all the earth. We thank you, God, for being such a good God.
Yes.
Father God, that's why we come here right now to hear from you.
Yes.
We need encouragement through your word. Yes. We're weak, weary, tired, and worn. Yes. And we need to be restored.
Yes.
By your word. Allow this word to be tailor-made, fit for the circumstance and situation with that we are in right now. Tailor-make it just for us. You know what we need and when we need it. But Father God, just do. We're not asking you for nothing special right at this moment. It's preaching and teaching time. And we cannot understand this without you, and I cannot teach or preach it without your help. So right now, Father God, let draw back the draperies of misunderstanding. Anoint every mind and seat in this place. And Father God, whatever's accomplished and whatever's accomplished, we will be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people here right now. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, beginning at the 25th verse. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Let me put it into plain English. Everyone's chains, shackles, were loosed. I'm going to put a tag on this text once again with your prayers. Chains on the brain. Part two. Take your seats in the presence of the Lord. I just want to recap where we left off. So those of you that missed service last Sunday, you're not going to miss out on nothing, because we're going to pull you right on in. There's a word for all of us in here. Amen?
Amen.
Chains on the brain. Last Sunday I told the church that you don't have to be in prison to be a prisoner. You don't have to be locked up to be on lockdown. Everybody who is incarcerated is not necessarily in jail. Some people are not incarcerated, but they are in a prison mentally, emotionally, emotionally and spiritually.
Yes.
There's a book by Ernest Campbell. The title of the book is Locked in a Room with Open Doors. In the book, Ernest Campbell sagaciously suggested that all of our oppressors are not, and all of the oppression we have are not internal. Y'all remember that? But a lot of our oppression is external.
All right.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
The book is based on the story of a boy who had a dreaded fear of open doors. So much so that his brother got sick and tired, and the brother said, if you keep this mess up, you're going to make me lock you in a room with open doors. Mm-hmm. Let me hang out here a little bit for you. Do you know what it means to be locked in a room with open doors? It means to be internally incarcerated.
All
right. It means that you can be imprisoned by insecurity. You can be imprisoned by guilt, a guilt complex. Everybody's against me. You can find yourself locked up by low self-esteem. Some of the chains are not merely shackles on our feet, but they're chains on our brain.
Yeah.
What I discovered is there's a gap between where we are and where we want to be.
All right.
We got to deal with some type of social interaction. Most of our hell is because of our people interaction. I want you to know that's right. Pastor said it. You don't have to die to go to hell. Some of us gonna wake up tomorrow morning on our way to work and we on our way to hell. You gotta deal with a demonic diva and a hating homeboy on your job. You in that job, you got that job, you know you need to get paid, but you're going to get put up with their mess and their foolishness. That's hell on earth. I'm going to tell you why people are hell. I told y'all last week. People are hell because everyone is pursuing their own interest at the expense of you. That's right. Hell is because of the mind games that they play. You can tell by that smile on y'all face. I mean, y'all cooler than I know the flavor. Y'all, some of y'all feeling this. You got people right now in your camp and in your circle. They are in your circle and in your camp, but they really not with you. They're good at telling you what you should and should not do, Edith. They're so spiritual, but they don't apply the spirit to themselves. They're always a doctor got a prescription for your problem. Can I get a witness in here? Brothers, have you ever met a brother always tell you how you should treat your wife, but they can't keep a wife or a woman themselves? Why should I be listening to you? But we do, you know why? Because we got shackles on our brains.
Yes.
Got a sister want to tell an other sister, you shouldn't do that. You let him treat you like that. I don't want to put up with that. If I was you, I'd be out. Yeah, that's why she's staying with her mama. But she wants you to get out. Stupid is, stupid does. Ain't telling you to put up with no mess, but guess what? You ought to be able to make your own decision and stop taking, because everybody is not for you because you're hanging with them.
That's right.
You have shackled yourself to people that's going nowhere, doing nothing. And they are happy as long as you do the same thing with them. Fail. Someone here today, because your prison is not a prison. You find yourself being sentenced to your prison is your relationship you in. It's an abusive, hard, mean. The relationship is starting to drain the life out of you. Because you have found that the person you are connected to, they are not a lover, Sister Greer, they are a leech.
Talk to us, Pastor.
Because what a lover does, a lover supports you. A lover pours back into you. A lover wants to sustain you and make you happy. But what a leech does, a leech gets close to you for the benefits, because they want to suck on the blood supply and they want to drain you until you're dead. And when you're dead, they will crawl to the next person and start sucking on them.
Yes.
Y'all ain't got to say amen.
Go ahead, Pastor. Talk.
Just say, ouch.
There's a woman here. I guess I'll tell you about this and I'll move on. There's a woman by the name of Melissa Harris Perry, professor at Tulane University. She's on MSNBC. She has a talk show there. And I told you that she wrote a book called Sister Citizen, refreshing your memory.
Yes.
In the book, it's talk about after World War II, they did a study on cognitive field responses. That means that they took people with different personalities, took them and put them in a room. Watch me now. Individually. But the room was crooked. The chair in the room was crooked. The pictures were crooked. The statues were crooked. Now they had to stay in this room for an unspecified amount of time and sit in this crooked chair. Watch me now. Watch how the odds are built up against us. Now, after sitting there for whatever hours it was, they're there in this crooked situation. It's whacked. So now they're told to stand up straight in the crooked room. How's that possible? You stack the odds against me, and then you want me to be successful. I got to deal with circumstances and situations in this life. Y'all with me? And then I'm still required to be successful. I got a reality check just this morning. Had a brother told me, say, Pastor, my plate is full. I might not look like what I'm going through, but my plate is full.
Yeah. Yes.
I said, bro, I'm feeling you.
Yes.
We don't know this because some of us take a beating real good.
Yes.
We put a smile on our face and keep it moving.
Yes.
Some of us are a lot like Paul. We take a licking and keep on kicking.
That's right, Pastor.
But what the problem is, Isaiah, is this. You got folk around you because you always showing up. You always doing what you're supposed to do. They can give a hill of beans or a hell what you got to go through.
Uh-huh.
All they know is that you show up all the time, you do what you're supposed to do, but let you miss one beat. That's why, you know what? It comes a time in our life, Sister Jones, we need to cut some people off.
Yes.
Some people we've been hanging around a long time, Gene. And we've got accustomed to their mess. But you ain't gonna never go nowhere unless you cut them off, because they are drained, they're holding you back. Everybody can't go where you're going. Because you got chains on the brain. This is what true freedom is. Can I share it with you? James Cone, the brilliant black theologian of black liberation theology, that's his book, says real freedom is when you see yourself as you are, not as others see you, or how others define you, or when you see yourself as God has created you, not with everybody yourself. Your first deliverance you need to get free out of jail and the shackles is free yourself from people.
Yes. 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 Amen. Amen.
while you make external adjustments. I'm going to take this thing just a little bit deeper. Because see, we so busy taking care of everything around us. We can put on a good, some of us can look real good in a raggedy situation.
Yes,
we can be a pig in flock and we put on a three-piece suit. You make an external adjustment. Can I teach it?
Go ahead, Pastor.
Just trying to tell you how God gave it to me. You make external adjustments.
Yes, sir.
Oh, y'all ain't feeling me.
Go ahead.
I'm going to come right down your alley. Because you just got a new job, you making a little bit more money. Before, you was on food stamps and assistance. But now you making a little bit of money. And because you making a little bit of money, you say, you know what? I can't live here no more. I got to move on the upper side. So you make an external adjustment.
Uh-huh.
But guess what? You made an external adjustment, but you did nothing to yourself internally.
That's right.
Where, yeah, where you were was raggedy, but guess what? You on the inside still raggedy.
Yeah, right. Come on,
Pat. So guess what? Your outside look good, but you acting raggedy. Don't you dare not, and ladies, guys too, don't you dare stare at people just because they're giving you a little bit of change. I don't know who am I talking to? Don't stay to nobody just because they tell you what you want to hear. You think you're free. No, you're not free. You just have become a comfortable slave. Don't you dare think because you give me a little bit of change that I'm going to hang around and put up with your mess. I'm gonna go against what God tells me to do. Don't care because you give me a little something every now and then. I know. No way. I'd rather be without you and broke.
Amen. Amen.
You're just a secure slave. Well, I covered that. Y'all should be up to date on where we at.
Yeah,
y'all got it up to date?
Yes,
can I cover that right, Deacon Lennon?
Yes, sir.
Okay, can I move on with this thing?
Yes, sir.
And put a tag on this thing?
Yes, sir.
Yes, it will cause you some discomfort. Others will judge your decision to not hang out with them or stay in the circumstance or situation that you're in. You need to learn that sometimes you have to do unpopular things.
Yes.
Things that can make other people talk. That means decision. Watch this rotator. Sometimes you got to move.
Okay.
Yeah. Stop. Yeah. Sometimes you got to make a change. Yeah. You don't want to make a change, yeah. But guess what? It feels bad, but guess what? Yeah. God said, I can't blow you up because you too confined in a box right now. Come on now. Since let y'all say Pastor ain't said nothing scripture yet. Y'all know I go in the book. Come go with me. Teresa, let's walk through the text. And let's meet the gospel globetrotter. And trailblazing theologian from Tarsus. The Apostle Paul. Paul and Silas meet up with a sister with a gift of divination. She's a fortune teller. She and her gift was being exploited by others.
Yeah.
Whenever you find the less fortunate and the disenfranchised with a gift, you'll find out that the 2% will always try to take advantage of the... So because Paul and Silas cast that demon out, the demon even was the source of her gift. That's right, it was demonic. Because of that, their exploiters' financial gain was interfered with. People that do stuff for money and don't think nothing about you. See, you think we see we such a people. Sometimes we need to check ourselves sometimes.
Yeah.
Because we get stuck on ourselves. We think we more than we are. You think there's somebody with you just because you look that good? You think somebody with you just because you're shaking it like that? No. Because you're dropping it like it's hot? Anybody can drop it like it's hot. I don't care. They throw Paul and Silas in jail. Watch me now. They throw them there. It looks like it's all over. Things are at its worst. You know, I knew I had to come preach the New Jerusalem today, Sister Grill. So I don't come to New Jerusalem need a word.
Yes, it does.
I can't come here like a jackleg and just say anything.
All right.
I got to study because we got some intelligent folk in here. Uh-huh. They actually read their Bible.
Yes.
And if you say something they ain't never heard before, Latonya, they say, Pastor, can you explain that one to me? I didn't get that. And I have to explain it. They're making me better because I'm here. So I did an educational study. Deacon Lynn. And I said, they put Paul and Silas in jail and went in some shackles. But I looked at the custom of the day and the correctional facility. They chained hated prisoners differently than the other prisoners. They stretched Paul out with his legs open as far as they can go and put some shackles on him. Throw his hands up. Just like even on a cross. I said, what are they doing? And now they're in the inner prison. Watch me now. The Bible tells me when things are at their worst, that's when our God is at his best. God told me to tell someone here this morning that he can use the bad that you're going through as transportation to get you where the good he got for you. Preach, Pastor Clark. I'm trying to do the best I can. And use it as a stage to show up and show out on. I'm not coming through.
Thank you, Lord.
It was about a couple weeks ago. The video went viral. Facebook, YouTube, so viral that it went to Good Morning America. Let me tell you what this woman did. She was getting ready to go to the zoo. And she had a little baby, a little toddler. So on the way, I don't know why some folk do what they do. But this mother, she dressed that child up like a zebra. That's right, dressed her up like a zebra. They get to the display where the lions were. I'm trying to feel y'all. Y'all gonna get it, y'all. The child and the lion was separated by a thick glass. Lion didn't know that. So this zebra looking child sits her juicy looking zebra self down in front of the glass, and the lion kept the lion against the paw at the child. As much as he pawed at her, he could not But he could not get to her. So they asked her, "Lady, ma'am, weren't you afraid to bring your child to the zoo with these lions and dress up like a zebra?" She said, "No. The lion was trying to get my child. But what the lion did not know, that there was something in between my child and him. Y'all get that on the way home. You don't know why your enemies could not get to you the way they wanted to get to you. God told them to teach you. You may not can't see him, but he's there all the time. God said, you ain't got to see me, you ain't got to feel me. He said, I'm standing between you and a whole bunch of stuff. It's trying to get at you when it can't. He said, how do I know that? No weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Giving God that pity pad out there. That's all right. I'm just going to hang there just for a minute.
Go ahead.
I thought about it again. After God showed me that thing. Sister Greer, watch this. He said, boy, if God be for you, who can be against you? It's a glass between you and Tommy. Let me just teach you like God taught me so I can get up out of here, because I know y'all getting tired of me.
No, sir.
How does God get you free?
Yes.
Watch me now. Well, we all know life is not fair. If it isn't one thing, it's another. Listen to me. Listen. You can't control what happens to you. But you can control what goes on the inside of you. The text says Paul and Silas broke out in prayer and they sang in the middle of a bad situation. Y'all hear me?
Amen.
Can I dissect the word prayer before I go to my seat?
Go ahead.
Prayer. Prayer is not just some emotional exercise that is empty. Prayer, watch me now, Diggins. Watch me, Diggins. Watch this, Pastor. Prayer in the Greek means to get in the face of the one you are talking to.
Yes.
Get in God's face.
Uh-huh.
No, you think you on in Hollywood Park. You think you in the middle of West Park and you praying, he's talking. No, prayer takes you in his face.
Yes, it does.
What's up, Daniel? What's up, Daniel? I ain't done.
Go ahead.
It means to get in the face of the one you are talking to. Mm-hmm. And doing so, you're getting rid of anything and everything that I might get between you and the one you talking to.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Lord. You ain't got to be repeating on nobody's say. Get in God's face. Put all the foolishness and everything else aside. Put your regular self aside. Get in his face. Say, Lord, here I am, just as I am, without one plea. Prayer ain't just reciting something you heard someone else say. But you are saying to God, whatever I have to get rid of to get you to provide what I need, I'm willing and ready to do it.
Yes, sir.
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
They prayed and said, that is a spiritual response to a demonically energized situation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God don't want us to start talking and getting out of character because you mad about something. Because you don't like what someone doing to you.
Yeah.
God said, no, you need to know how to respond spiritually to to demonic things. And hello, let me help you. Make sure the thing you responded to is demonic. Because sometimes we demonic and we...
Talk to us, Pastor.
They prayed and sang.
Yes.
Deacon Drake, you know what they were singing? Oh my God. They took out their hymn book, the only hymn book they had. That was the Book of Psalms.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Y'all ain't with me, huh? Uh-huh. They sang while they were stressed out weeping. May endure for a night.
Yeah.
But joy cometh in the morning. Then Paul said, what about this one, Silas? He said, the Lord is my life and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Secondly, if you put God in the sentence of your bad situation, watch me now, God will fill in the blanks with the unexpected. I'm not teaching y'all something now. Pray for passage. I'm almost done. You could be in the middle of a bad situation. But while you speaking, make sure you put God in it. While you acting, make sure you put God in it. Because what God does, he'll fill in the blanks that you don't know. And guess what? He always shows up and does something unexpectedly. Over my life, I was in some situations that only God could free me from. But I did not see the blessing coming. But God showed up and did the unexpected. Now, if y'all don't think I'm in the book, let me shout you. The Bible says, at midnight. At midnight. In my darkest situation. So they sang praises unto God. Just so y'all won't say Pastor went in the text. Watch this, watch it. Watch this thing. He said, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, because the modern translation of the word means surprise. God said, you just go about your business. Stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. I show up in your bad situation and say, surprise! I'm loving this thing. What? Told you how to get free. I told y'all how to holler at me.
Yes.
He said, well, y'all scared. Because see, y'all got so much stuff. Y'all surrounded with so many cloud of witnesses. You need to lay right aside every weight and sin and run the race that is set before you. Can I get a witness up here? That's why the Apostle Paul said, he said that. I said, I press toward the mark of the high calling. Christ Jesus. Paul said, I don't care what might may come my way. He said, I'm a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I done been long enough with him. He said, guess what, y'all? He said, if I check his resume, resume, Deacon. He said he's never failed me yet. Matter of fact, when I was killing y'all, he still covered me. Can I get a witness up in here? And Paul said, that's why you got to realize that all the day long, we like sheep are going to the slaughter. But if we go to the slaughter, if we suffer with him, we'll be with him in glory. I don't care what I gotta go through, because guess what? It don't last always. Y'all didn't hear me? The things of this earth are temporary, but only what you do for Jesus will last.
Don't believe.